to Psalm 8. If you don't, in the Pew Bible in front of you, it's page 530. We're in the middle of a series on the book of Psalms, we've been in this progression. Over the summer, we did sermons that focused on inward, on the soul, dealing with stuff of the soul. Right now, we're focusing on those we're in. This is up. We're focusing on the up, on the God of the universe, who desires an intimate place in your life. And then after this series, we're going to do an out, what that means for all of us, and keep in this cycle of in, up, out, to keep a balanced approach of what God is trying to do in and through us. And so we're in this series on the book of Psalms, and we want to orient you to the God of the universe. So this is an orientation passage. I've entitled this one Star Lord. Some of you get that. Star Lord, guardian of the galaxy. Because he really is a Star Lord. I don't know if you've seen the movie yet, the movie Guardian of the Galaxy is out right now. And in this movie, there's this young Earthling who gets abducted by aliens. And he ends up essentially being a thief, where he runs around the galaxy stealing stuff for other people. And there's this really funny scene at the beginning where he's doing this whole thing, and he's listening to a cassette tape, which... some of you were born after those things were obsolete. And he's listening to the music, and he's dancing around, and he goes to steal this object, and he turns around, and these guys are there for it too. And they get in this discussion, and they say, "What is your name?" And he says, "Peter Quill, but maybe you know me by another name." And there's this silent, awkward pause, and he goes, "Star-Lord." And they go, "Who?" He's like, "Ah, come on." And the whole rest of the movie, he gets together with these group of misfits that try to be the guardians of the galaxy, but constantly he's trying to get people to identify him as the Star Lord. So this morning I wanted to orient you to the true Star Lord. There is a Lord of the stars. And I'm thoroughly fascinated with who he is and what he does. All of us at some point in our lives have walked outside and looked up at the stars in awe and amazement. Some of us more than others. I love staring at the stars. I downloaded this little app. My kids take it outside all the time, and if you look up, it'll tell you what the stars are, the constellations, all kinds of information. It'll tell you when the Hubble telescope is going across. It's crazy cool. So I'm just thoroughly fascinated by God's creation. And so to orient us, let's look at Psalm chapter 8 this morning. It says, "O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger." This psalm is going to be bookended with, "O Lord, O Lord, how majestic is your name." Before I go any further, Lord, just let me tell you how awesome you are. And that word gets used all the time, awesome. It gets used for food and stuff, crazy, stupid kittens that we watch on YouTube. Oh, that's so awesome. I got one, somebody sent me one yesterday of this dog laying in a tub and his owner's just scrubbing him down. He's just sitting there like, and people are like, "Oh, that's so awesome. Is it really awesome? Does it evoke awe in your soul?" I hope not. So let's steal back the word awe and put it where it needs to be directed, to the one who inspires awe in all of us, the God of the universe. So, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Your name that the Hebrews were afraid to even say correctly because they kept it in such reverence. And we say all the time, "God, God, God." And we take it out of context and we use it in vain. They were in such awe of the name of the King, the God of the universe, that they wouldn't even call him by his name. They would call him Adonai Elohim, the Lord God. They were afraid to even mention his name. That's how awe they were of the God of the universe. So let's start with that. Lord, let us just be in awe of you. And then this weird contrast here where he contrasts it with little babies. This is an awesome opportunity to be in the nursery last week and to watch these little kids just walk around and run around. And there is not a care in the world. Two Sundays ago, I was standing out here with the First Impressions team, and this father and his son were kind of walking by, and he heard the music, and he just started walking towards the church. And his dad walked over, and he's grabbing his hand and trying to pull him away, and he's like pushing his dad's hand away and just walking in the church. And he just stood in the entryway, and he just kind of did this. And his dad was like, come on, and he was like, he couldn't even been like a year and a half. He's just standing there like. Because sometimes, just sometimes, the wee little ones get it before the big ones. And there's this contrast here between the God of the universe and his little ones who thoroughly get it. And this gets rehearsed to us. Come to me like a little child. And then we get into verse 3. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, and the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, let's just stop there for a second. I want to orient you to a big God because I think sometimes we make God really, really tiny. When I was a little kid, we used to sing the song, my God is so big, so strong, and so... My little kid voice. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. And even when I sang that song, I don't think I had a proper orientation of the God of the universe. So can you just humor my inner geek for a second? Can you do that? And let me just talk about the greatness of this universe that you guys live in, all right? This is, up until a couple years ago, what was known as the largest star in the universe, Canis Majore, the big dog, properly named. This thing is monstrous. I don't know if you see that little square down at the bottom. That's our sun. And that little blue ring that you see in that highlighted box is the orbit of the Earth. That's the orbit of the Earth. So when you look at this thing, bam, it's huge. It is 1,420 times bigger than our sun. Just let that sit in for a second. So if you were to replace the sun with Canis Majore, it would stretch out to the orbit of Jupiter. That's how huge it is. Not only that, to get to it, it would take you 4,900 light years. And if you don't know, if you didn't pay attention in science class, a light year or a light speed is 186,000 miles per second, or 671 million miles an hour. You would have to go that fast for 4,900 years just to get to see this big thing. Just in relation to this, the fastest thing that we can produce so far gets us somewhere between 11 and 14,000 miles per hour. We're talking 671 million miles per hour, and it would take you 4,900 years to get there. And God said, you know what? I think I'll put that right there, just for fun. I'm sorry, if that doesn't blow your mind, let's have a conversation. And that was until a couple years ago. Then all of a sudden they found this one, NML Cygni. Boom, 1,650 times bigger than the sun. And it's 5,300 light years away. And God said, let me place that one right there, just for fun. That's just close to our galaxy, of which there are billions in the universe. And if you were to travel across the known universe, it would take you over 1,000,000,000 light years to get from one end to the other. And the Word of God said, God just placed it there with his finger and set it in place. So let's take an orientation class for a second and just sit in awe of this God of the universe. So he's not, oh, I got God in my pocket, and I'm just... He sets it with his finger and then just kind of holds it in place just for the heck of it. Just because he's God and he can. And we look up and we go, oh, look at those tiny little lights in the sky. So who is man that you are mindful of him? We got all kinds of issues here on this planet. All kinds of issues. Probably the biggest of which is pride. Kind of causes all kinds of things to happen. My will, my desire, I'm greater. Wars, battles, chaos. And all of that means absolutely nothing in comparison to the God of the universe who set all that into existence and holds it in the palm of his hand. And that would be crazy enough if the scripture just stopped right there. And it would really cause all of us, in my mind, to get down on our knees like those last two songs. And then he goes on to say this. Man, you made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and you crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to rule over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all that swim in the paths of the sea. That God who placed all those things up in the sky that we can't even begin to comprehend in our little earthly minds, all of this, everything you see around you, for whatever reason, he has decided that you are the most important of all his creation. You are the most important of all his creation. Some of you, that's still not sinking in. You are the most important of all of God's creation. Okay. I know some of you cannot receive that. He looks at it all of it, that crazy hugeness out in the sky. And he said, it's just there for your enjoyment and mine. But I care about you. I made you a little lower than the earthly beings. I've crowned you in my glory. Now go and look after this thing that I've created. That doesn't just chap at our issues of pride and selfishness and meanness. I do not know what will. Let that sink in. You are God's favorite. And all your junk, all your baggage, all your yuck, you are his favorite. and he wants an intimate, personal relationship with you. We gotta let this go. I think sometimes we have, I don't know if you've ever seen Finding Nemo. Little seagulls. It's not yours. It's yours to look after. We must instead respond with humility. We have to. Then there's this really cool guy, Matthew Fontaine Murray. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before. Some of you might be history buffs. You're like, I don't really care. This guy, Matthew Fontaine Murray, his dad loved the Psalms, loved them. And they would have to recite them over and over and over and over again. And his daughter tells Matthew's daughter in her biography about her father's life, said he could quote chapter and verse the Psalms to you. And one of his favorite was Psalm 8:8. And you set the pathways in the sea for the fish. He was a ship guy. He loved driving boats, cruising. And he heard all these stories. We knew at this point in his life, he grew up in the 1800s. He was really big around the time of the Civil War. And he knew about, heard the stories from the ship captains about the pathways in the sea. But when he was reading the Word of God, he was so drawn to the fact that the God of the universe, for whatever reason, who placed the stars in the sky, put these little pathways in the sea for us to get places quicker. Because we have to do that because we're humans. And he made it his mission to chart them all. And by the end of his life, he had charted almost the entire ocean. He'd figured out the pathways in the sea. He was so in awe of the stars and how God placed them in their skies. He was in awe of it, and he got really heavily into astronomy and knowing the seasons and how God decided to do things because he was God. He was one of the ones who pushed for the weather system that we now look forward to and we take advantage of all the time. Is it going to rain today? I really want to go outside and hang out with my friends. We owe it all to this guy, who most of you have never heard of before, who was so in awe of the creator of the universe that he wanted to dig deeper and understand this God that he served. So we finish out this chapter the only way we know how. To say, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I don't know what you brought into this sanctuary this morning. I don't know what kind of junk, hurt, pain, chaos, anger, whatever it is, it's time to orient yourself to the God of the universe and humbly bow before him, because he is due all our worship and all our praise. And for whatever reason, he chose you and me to be the difference makers on this planet. He chose you and me to have an intimate, personal relationship with. Out of everything in the entire known universe, he chose you. Let's close your eyes for a second. Let that rest on you. That rest on you. for whatever reason he chose you. Lord Jesus, we humbly submit to you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In reverent, true awe, we come before you as your creation. We ask that you would use us, that you would guide us, that you would empower us for the things you set before us. Do this all in the name and the power and the strength of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Hey, would you stand and let's respond. Let's respond to who the God of the universe is.